Part 1. Chapter 1. How I Got Here. Patterns of Hindsight. How do we end up doing what we do in life? How do we become what we become? How did we get where we are today? At some point in our lives, we all ask ourselves these questions. Of course, there's no single causal explanation or answer. But by looking back through the pattern-revealing lens of hindsight, we can recognize some of the defining activities, experiences, ideas, and opportunities that ultimately shaped our paths. History reveals patterns, and patterns reveal life. I was born and raised in Oak Park, Illinois. My parents gave birth to 9 children. Yes, we were of Irish Catholic descent. It's the first question most people ask when they hear 9 kids. Built in 1896, the house I grew up in is the same house my mother lives in today. With 4 boys and 5 girls, life had its share of unique idiosyncrasies. Food was always scarce. We considered bologna a delicacy. And when there were actually a few slices left, they were usually hidden behind or under something else in the refrigerator. Familial Darwinism at work. Although the house had 6 bedrooms, all 4 boys slept in the same room. My mother locked us in at night to keep us from going downstairs and raiding the kitchen. To get the extra rations I was sure I needed, I started climbing out the window, crawling across the roof, hanging off the gutters, and dropping to the ground, where I'd then re-enter the house through a basement window I had left open before going to bed. My brothers and sisters would probably say that my greatest talent as a kid was finding things. My parents ran a tight ship. When one of my siblings gained possession of something my parents thought inappropriate, such as my sister's low-cut hip-hugger pants, my older brother's Doors album, or my younger brother's BB gun, my parents confiscated the offensive items and stashed them away in the types of places where no one, including my parents, would ever look again. Inevitably, my siblings would turn to me for the recovery operation. My process was elementary. The size, shape, and composition of what I was looking for were key. A BB gun required a rifle's length of rigid hiding space volume, a Doors album, a long, thin slot, while my sister's pants could be squished away almost any place. I'd always imagine where I would hide the object if I were my parents. Up high and out of reach from my little brother, odd and unexpected compartments for my sister's stuff, etc. I knew every nook and cranny in the house, so if a dresser or a box in the closet were askew, it was a surefire clue that I was getting hot. Nothing was out of bounds as a hiding place. Inside TV sets, behind dresser drawers, on top of the furnace in the basement. I never failed in a finding mission, ever. Helping my brothers and sisters find their stuff was cool, but it wasn't what jazzed me. I thrived on the thrill of the hunt. I've come to believe that within the heart of every boy lies the seed of a warrior. Even a boy born and raised in a bubble, with no exposure to TV or toys, will occasionally chew his toast into the shape of a gun or stealthily roll his bubble across the room to sneak up on his mom. The degree to which the warrior seed grows and flourishes is dependent on the life experiences in which it's nurtured. For me, there was one seminal experience that I first took part in at the age of 7. It wasn't the Boy Scouts. It was bombing cars. For me and my friends, bombing cars had nothing to do with trying to scare people or damage their property. Instead, it was our way of imbibing what I have since come to know as the warrior's cocktail, the thrill of the hunt mixed with the thrill of the chase. To get the best possible chases, the types that would challenge our ability to run, dodge, evade, and outsmart, we were picky. We picked our bombing positions with great care to ensure we always achieved surprise. Houses surrounded by thick evergreen trees or juniper bushes were our favorites. We threw snowballs only at cars driven by men. The younger and the more, the better. Back then, there was a high price to pay if you got caught. You either got the crap kicked out of you and your face washed with snow on the spot, or you were dragged off to the police station and locked up until your parents came to get you. My claim to fame was that I never got caught. At times, our numbers would swell to upward of 50 kids, sometimes heaving more than 50 frozen projectiles. On those days, we called it carpet bombing cars,